Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G., you on the line with us tonight?
We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line. I know we missed a couple of Thursdays, but it's glad to be back. Good to be back one more time where we can study the word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., it's good to be able to get back into the word and see how the word is lining up with the title of our Bible study, There's Nothing New Under the Sun, and see how today's events and events that were happening during the biblical days run parallel, because the common denominator is mankind. And mankind doesn't change his stripes, and he has the ability to behave in a certain way that is predictable to flesh. Unless he has the Spirit of God on the inside regulating his actions. And we've seen it down through the years that only the Holy Spirit can allow man to not be selfish, but surrender his will over to God's will, and to be able to carry out the great command that God left on record, that, you know, we should love him with all our heart and all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And truly, we run into trouble like they ran into trouble during the biblical days when we don't have love one for another. And we suffer the consequences, whether we realize it or not. It's in our best interest to love God and love each other, because when we don't, we run into hatred, racism, classism, all kind of isms that end up pulling the community as a whole, society as a whole down, because of our ability or lack of ability to do these things separate from the Holy Spirit. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were, when, before we sat down to study today's last lesson, I went back to the last question that we had from our prior lesson, and the question was, how important is it to be informed by the truth? And I thought it was interesting because we're dealing now with the big lie, just like they had to deal with the lies in the past. And the lies come from the flesh, so we have to be drawn to Christ to keep that evilness of lies from creeping into our personality, because our natural man is to be deceitful, is to be selfish, is to be prideful, is to follow man and try to impress man and feed our ego versus following and being obedient to the Lord regardless of our circumstances and trusting God to handle our circumstances versus us trying to handle it ourselves. And then we fall into our feelings, and if it's lie, cheat, steal, whatever, to appeal to the flesh.
Amen, amen. And it's always a struggle to be in a position where you realize what the makeup is of the human flesh. And I think sometimes people get lulled to sleep to think that, you know, you can do it on your own. And matter of fact, Dr. G helped me out here. The term paraclete, or that helper, is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, my help or my helper. And so we have to realize that we need some help in this flesh. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And that was one of the reasons why Jesus informed the disciples that he would not leave them comfortless, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're the only ones to think that we can do it on our own. God knows we need help. And if we could ever come to the realization that, you know, without God's help, we just can't make it in this life.
Amen. And I think so many people and like you were saying, Sheila G, that getting that misinformation that, you know, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you don't need anybody. And you know, you got countries that we're the greatest country. And, you know, people think that you know, they got there by themselves and they can do it by themselves. But when you have the wrong information in that verse that we talked about, that verse from our last Bible study was Acts 21, verse 21, and the NIV says they have been informed that you teach all Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. And you know, it's like this was the wrong information. That's not what they taught. That's not what Paul taught. And then if you read that same verse in the King James, it says, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought to not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. So this is the misinformation. And this is what throws two, and this is the last Bible study we studied. This is what throws two groups against each other, because it takes just enough of misinformation for people to get it twisted. It takes just enough of a lie or misinformation to get this group to say, no, well, this is what this means. No, this is what this means. And because we don't agree, now we're at each other's throat because someone says, well, you're saying Moses is the way we need to do it. You're saying Moses isn't not the way to do it. But in actuality, what the truth is the law of Moses brought us to Christ. And so you can't have one without the other. And so both of them work together to accomplish the will of God. that God sent the law to inform the people that, hey, you're missing something. What you're missing is God. And because you're missing this, God has put a plan into action to bring you back into the proper relationship with him, and that's through Jesus Christ. And one man got you into it was Adam, and one man will get you out of it, which is Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. That's God's rule. That's how he's going to bring us back into the relationship. But you needed Moses to be able to bring this law to the people so they can realize, hey, we're coming up short. We can't get there. We can't live this. If you break one, you break all. We're lost. And so here comes God saying, I'm going to give you some grace. I'm going to bring it through my son, the bloodline of Abraham, Jesus Christ, to pay or be the propitiation or the stand-in to make his blood sacrifice that we will all be able to come together as one, Jews, Gentiles, whosoever will, that you might be saved. But one little bad piece of information or twisted some kind of way will get you in trouble. I don't know if anybody's ever did coding for computers when I was first started studying computers. One little comma, one little space, one little yep. capital, or one little lowercase will throw the whole code off. But that's not to say that it's not code, but it's the wrong code. So when you sort of like if you do a spreadsheet in Excel or something, and if you have an equal or a sum, or if you have something in parentheses, or you have something with a semicolon or somewhere, it throws the whole formula. It's still a formula, but it's not going to give you the number that you want. And so you have to be able to say that it's not the formula's problem, but it's the human's problem because the formula didn't insert itself. And it's not God's problem that because he gave the law. He gave the law because people couldn't get it right. And so the law showed them that they couldn't get it right, pointed to Jesus, and then Jesus came in and said, all right, I'm going to die so y'all can not rely on yourself to get it right, but allow on the blood, his sacrifice to get it right. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And then you see how God has done that from generation to generation to generation. So if the teachings, that's why it's important, and I think that's why we're, like you said, there's nothing new under the sun. We have so many problems now because, as you're saying, and you look through the scriptures and you're not taking it out of context, God had a plan. There were more signs and wonders back then with the law, but then when Jesus came with the Holy Spirit, that's our personal Savior that's within us that gives us grace for our place. But we have to pass that on from generation to generation. And I know there's a lot of times where we look back at prior generations. If you didn't go to church any other time, you went on Easter, you went on Christmas.
That's right.
Mother's Day, Father's Day, and you made sure you went, like when I knew when we were traveling, there was sometimes we couldn't get to church, but they made sure when we were growing up, but we made sure we were there for communion. And so things have been taught from generation to generation, but, and Pastor was preaching about this past Sunday, we have lost our first love, which is the love of God. So we have not passed that down to generation to generation about the love of God, how, like you were explaining just now, how it transitioned from the law to grace, that now everybody's doing their own thing and thinking it's on their own power, which causes the division, which allowed the hate to come in. And then you have man against man, woman against woman, and the church is like lost on the side. And when you think about what's going on today, now within our politics, it was the evangelicals that were initially mm-hmm. opening their arms and saying, okay, well, this president has done this, that, and the other, but you got taking things out of context. But we all have sinned and come short, so we have to have forgiveness and allow this president to come in, this, that, and the other. So it's like they twisted the word around when mm-hmm. they had an opportunity to say, but if you look at the whole thing, you can't, if you're going to have grace, this, you're talking about a man that said that he never needed to ask for forgiveness, then he has not truly accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so you can't speak for him because you're looking at it from your own way of things. And we're not passing the love across. We're not teaching generations that we are here to serve, to spread God's word, because we've lost our first love. And as a result of that, we have wars. We have the weather going crazy. We have rumors of wars. We have lies. And until we as the church, the established church, start teaching about grace and showing the importance of having the Lord reign over our lives versus the world, sin is going to continue to be rampant from heart to heart and breast to breast.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah. You know, my thing is, she was right. You know, I talked about being chosen on Sunday, and then I gave him a subtopic, to walk or not to walk. You know, it's a choice that each of us have to make. But we live in a day and time now, because even when you go back and you look at Israel, they chose to disobey God. And here we are in the 21st century. It's gotten worse, but people have turned their back on God. The only time they'll come to him is when they need him. After that, you know, hey, I'm good. I got this. But we fail to understand that without God in our life, we can do nothing. And that's why, you know, Sheila ran down the list. You've got so many different things going on, and people are just not happy. I've never seen a bunch of group of people that are just so unhappy. And until we make up our minds that we want the Lord and we want what he has to offer us, we'll never be right.
Amen, amen. And so that brings us to chapter 21, verse 22. And in the NIV it says, what shall we do? and in the King James it says, what is it there for? And it's like, okay, we got this situation where the Gentiles accepted Jesus and the Jews have accepted Jesus, but they can't get along because the Jews are saying that, yeah, y'all saved, but you need to be circumcised. And the Gentiles are saying, but that's not what grace is. And so it's like both of them are saved, but they can't get along. And so here's Paul coming back to Jerusalem, and Pastor James, Jesus' half-brother, sent out the Jerusalem decree that the Gentiles didn't need to be circumcised, but they just needed to, if you look at the second part of verse 21 and 22, he says in verse 21, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. And in verse 22, it says, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. In verse 23, it says, do therefore, this is what they say to thee, we have four men which have a vow. And so what they're saying, what should we do? How can we come up with a plan to please man? And this is what the problem is. What shall we do? Instead of saying, what shall we do, turn to God, they say, what shall we do? Let's do what we're going to do to please man. And so what happens is when they go about trying to please man, what happens is it incites the people. It turns into a mob. They come and get Paul. They drag him around. They bring him before the Romans. And it's a whole, the old term they used to do in the early 20s, say it was a hot mess. Because the two groups that are saved, these are saved folk now. They got saved Jews and saved Gentiles. Both of them are supposed to be saved. But it's a hot mess because they're trying to appease man into saying, okay, you're okay to be saved. You're okay to be saved. But we're gonna make this stipulation for you to be saved and this stipulation for you to be saved. And somehow that's going to work. and we'll see in the rest of this chapter that it turns into a hot mess. It turns into a hot mess that both of them are being oppressed by the Roman government. And then they try to take Paul out, but come to find out Paul is a Roman citizen. So now they done messed up because now the Romans are messed up, the Gentiles are messed up, the Jews is messed up because everybody's trying to appease man. Let me say that again. The Romans who are oppressing the Jews are messed up. The Jews who are against the Gentiles because they're not Jews are messing up. And the Gentiles who are pushing back because they're neither Romans or Gentiles or Jews. And so you got a hot mess because every denomination, if you will, or every political or religious group wants to be saved, but they want to be saved on their own terms. And so this, what this shows us is you can't lean and depend on man's way of thinking because it will get you in trouble every time. And it creates, and like you said, with today's political environment, it creates mob mentality that if I can't have it my way, then I'm going to take you out. This is the same thing that's happened on today. If I can't have it my way, I'm going to take you. I want to be a part of America. I want to be a part of democracy, but I want American democracy on my terms. I don't want it on your terms. I don't want it on your terms because you don't agree with me all the time. And that because you don't agree with me all the time, I might not be in power. And if I'm not in power, I got a problem. And I want American democracy on my terms. And so what the Jews, they wanted salvation on their terms. The Gentiles wanted it on their terms. And the Romans wanted it on their terms. Ain't nobody turning to God, but they're claiming God, but they're not claiming God on their terms, Sheila G.
And that's compromise. That's how people compromise the word of God. Take it out of context. That's what I was referring to back in 2016 or when they elected the prior president, where the church got involved and they became political and they started following politics because they wanted to control the government, not trusting in God, saying that the government is just people, but it's like, okay, let's put this dude in here and we're going to tell him how to do it. So we're going to give him money and we're going to say we're going to overlook what God says as far as, you know, how to sin or things that are sinful. So they compromised the word, and they literally said, well, we all have sinned. We've all done these things. So we have to, quote, unquote, overlook what he's done when it was just blatantly evil. So they compromised God's word, and then once he got in the government, the prior president got in, they wanted to control it. And like you said, it got out of control. And now here we are today looking at what happened on January 6th because they had two times through two impeachments to say, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. But they totally left God out of it and compromised it and tried to handle it themselves. And you cannot do that. You cannot say, I'm trusting the Lord, I'm following the Lord, and then compromise God's word. It's either you're going to be all in or you're going to be all out. And you're going to trust God or you're going to trust man. That pride of life, that's okay, Lord, I want you to help me to get this to be succeed, but I'm going to put you on the side. Or I'm going to use, like you're saying in the Bible here, you got the Jews want to do it this tradition. The Gentiles want to do this tradition. The Roman government wants to do this tradition. And nobody can get along because everybody, it's like tug of war. It's tug of war, and you got God in the middle. And if everybody would just stop and say, okay, Lord, we're going to do it God's way. I may not worship, but if everybody would make that personal decision to have that personal relationship, we've been talking about that in Sunday school, about having that personal relationship with God, then you let the Lord lead you. If everybody would do that, then you wouldn't have all this chaos. But we have chaos because during this biblical, what we're reading in the Bible, in this 21st century, everybody is trying to say, on one hand, I'm going to pray. On one hand, I'm going to read scripture. But on the other hand, I still want to do it my way to please my flesh.
Amen. Amen. So let's look at these two groups that Paul, he's in Jerusalem now. And folks are scared because they heard about Paul. And they said, Paul is telling them to forget about Moses. And so we pick up and we're going to read down. We're going to start at the 22nd verse we're going to read down. It says, what shall we do? Okay, they're saying, all right, we got a dilemma because Paul is here and we got these Gentiles that don't have to follow the Jewish customs, and the Jews are saying that Paul is bad news. And so the second part of that 22nd verse is, they will certainly hear that you have come. So, oh, Lord, Paul has come and Gentiles are coming with them, and they ain't following Moses, and we got problems here. Verse 23, It says, so do what we, so they come up with a scheme. Says, what are we going to do? It says, do what we tell you. And he says, there's four men with us who have made a vow. And so this was a vow where in the Old Testament where they would make a vow, they would purify themselves, and they would, for a period of 7 days, they would devote themselves unto God. And after their purification, they would shave their heads and they would be dedicated to the Lord. So in verse 24, it says, take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses, so that they can have their head shaved. And then in the second part of this verse, it says, then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. And it's sort of like, okay, that was a purification for the Jews for individuals, personal dedication to the Lord. This wasn't supposed to be for a scheme for them to be able to accept the Gentiles. but they take it out of context and then they twisted it up using this. Okay, this is what we're going to do to smooth everything over. We're going to get you to take them, purify them, pay their expenses. And then they say, okay, well, he's not getting rid of the law of Moses. See what he's doing? He's still following the law of Moses, so he should be okay. And then what we're going to do is now we're going to placate the Gentiles. So in verse 25, right, they're placating the Gentiles. He says, as for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food, sacrifice to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. So the thing, what they're talking about, they're talking about idols, and they're talking about things sacrificed from idols, but an idol is a false god. There's no power in this, but they're saying, you know, this is affecting your salvation. And so they're scheming with the Jews, they're scheming with the Gentiles, they're taking the word and they're trying to manipulate it for everybody to get along. But in the end, Sheila G., Dr. G., look what happens in verse 26. After all of this twisting and misinformation, look what happens in verse 26. Here comes a hot mess. The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of the purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. So now Paul, he went and did what they said, right? And everybody's supposed to be happy, right? Paul's not getting away with he's not doing away with Moses. He's satisfying the Jews. He's satisfying the Gentiles. And so here in verse 27, he still gets arrested. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd, and seized him. So did the scheming work? Did the sacrifices work? Did the let's figure it out and do it our way work? No, because you got another group. You got another group from another province coming in with some misinformation, and they say they stirred it up. And if you look at the King James, it says, and when the 7 days, verse 27, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. So what are you going to do? You can't do it man's way. You can't do it according to what man says, because man is going to be man. And if it doesn't go his way, he going to pout. He going to try to tear it down. He's going to try to destroy everybody else that's trying to do it different from his way. It's the same thing that happens every day. Same thing that's happening in our religion, same thing happening in our politics, same thing happening in any way you got a human. If you got one human doing it one way and the other one don't like it, there's a war. You go back to the beginning, dysfunctional family with Cain slew Abel. Why? Yes. Why did Cain slew Abel? Because he said that he gave a better sacrifice. He gave a better offering. And so because he gave a better offering, he killed his brother. Human dysfunction has been around since Adam and Eve fell into garden.
Yes.
And this is what people have to realize, Dr. G. Sheila G., is If you don't have God in this thing will go astray quickly. Look at this. Cain slew. Hey, why did he kill him? He killed him because he was mad because he got more credit for giving more, amen, than him. Help me out, Sheila G.
And you know, when you said that, it made me think back to when Pastor first became 20-some years ago pastor of New Birth. And for the first 2 years, he basically followed the Lord and watched all the different, and I'm going to call it what it is, factions within the church. You had the cliques.
There you go. There you go.
And he observed each one. One was saying that you're perfect. Then the other ones were following behind. The older ones were pointing at the younger ones. Then it was like you had the people that would call pastor and say, I have a concern because Sister So-and-so wore pants to work to church versus dress. Then it was just like all these different factions that had all these different traditions. Oh, you let a woman stand up in the pulpit. It was just like a whole bunch of things that he sat back. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, "You need to follow the Holy Spirit." So once he's in that second year, he would go and he. Where in the Bible does it say that my wife can't wear?
Right.
Where in the Bible does it say that there cannot be a woman preacher? Where in the Bible does it say that this person can't sing in the choir? And it was like all these murmurings. And so then he took it back to the scripture and said, in everything we're supposed to do without murmuring. He went to Galatians, without murmuring and without murmuring and complaining. So then they got upset because he kept going to the scripture. And so finally he had to say to all the different factions, to all the divisions, that, look, you take it up with the Holy Spirit. I am just a spiritual being. I'm doing what God has told me to do. If you don't believe it's what God is telling me to do as a leader in the church, you go and pray to the Lord, and the Lord will speak to me. And as a result of that, the church started to change because those that were not willing to follow what the Holy Spirit, like, don't follow me. Follow what the Holy Spirit has given to me. And those factions slowly but surely had to be wiped, you know, whether they died, whether they moved away or whatever. But that was the only way that the church gelled together because everybody was had their own quote-unquote opinion, tradition, twisting God's word, saying that the Holy Lord told me this, that, and the other, but God had to clean all that up. And if he didn't go, and it was painful. It was painful to see. It was very difficult, chaotic, but you have to stand on God's word. And when you stand on God's word, you can go through that storm, and God will work it out.
Yeah.
But the devil is going to be there. And here you see it in this scripture. All these different factions, all these different cliques. Everybody wanted to do it this way, whereas Paul was like, whatever happens, I'm standing on God's word because you can't keep coming up against God's word. And at the end of the day, I have to be accountable to God's word. And that's what Pastor said then. You know, it was like, I have to go according to this Bible. I have to go according to the word. If you show me in the word where it's not supposed to be like that, then you pray to God and God will reveal it to me through the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. And that's how you deal with it. And just going into it, you have to know that there's going to be somebody that's going to stir it up. There's going to be somebody that's going to stir it up. And the Jews from Asia stirred it up. They stirred all the people up. It's like you got to look, you got to watch, and you got to pray. I call them wolves. In sheep clothing. They will come in and tell you what thus said the Lord to stir some stuff up. Lord ain't saying nothing, it's thus said man. And they're stirring it up. And what happens is if the people aren't being led by the Spirit, they'll fall for it. They'll turn against each other. They'll turn against the church. They'll turn against the pastor because they want it their way. And so what they'll do is they'll try to sway the masses to see it their way. And this is what happens when people aren't led by the Holy Spirit, when people aren't following the will of God. They'll be led astray by misinformation, by people that are stirring up big lies, There are people that are mad because they can't have their way, and they'll try to persuade people in large numbers to come against the status quo, come against the preacher, come against the teaching of God, because we are the people, and we are the ones that are in charge, and we're the ones that give, and we're the ones that do this, and so they should do it our way, instead
right.
of saying let's come together around God and do it God's way. So let's go back to where they arrested Paul, and see what happened after that, and go back to verse 27. So when the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." Again, here is someone that's telling, these Jews are telling big lies. They're
yeah.
stirring up the people. They're letting them know that you know, he's trying to tell them that, you know, they're coming against us. They're coming against us. You need to help us. And it's sort of like the talk of being patriots that's going on in the political environment now. It's like, you know, they're teaching us the wrong thing. They're trying to do this, and he's bringing people, defiling this place, and, you know, just running Paul down. And then in verse 29, it says, they have previously seen Timotheus and Ephesians in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. So they're just assuming stuff. They're lying. They're talking about stuff that they have no proof of. And throwing it in there, like, okay, see what's going to stick against the wall, getting people riled up over a lie, and that's not even the truth. And if you look at verse 30, it says the whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. And in verse 31, it says, while they were trying to kill him, news reached the commanders of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. So they're going to kill because of what some people lied about Paul and stirred up some stuff. So I was just happened to peruse a section of news today. And somewhere along the line, there was a group of people that were talking about kill the vice president and drag him out and hang him. And I was like, wow, this is the same crowd and mob mentality that was back was in the back. So as long as the vice president was doing what they wanted him to do, he was cool. But when it comes to time that he's telling them, no, we need to do it this way, they're ready to drag him out and kill him. So truly, there's nothing new under the sun. If you can't have your way, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. But as long as you're doing it my way, you're okay. We good. And that's not to say that the vice president was always right, but he realized, amen, that all the stuff that he had did, amen, wasn't no good, because as soon as you disagree, you out the clique. You out the club. And so here you see the Bible is not changing. People are not changing. And you have a little bit of information that turns into a bigger lie, it's a snowball effect. You have people that say they are saved, that love God, but now they can't stand each other because you don't love God the way I love God. And so now you got the Jews in an uproar, you got the Gentiles in an uproar, you got the Roman government in an uproar, because they say in Jerusalem, the whole city, that's what the last part of verse 31 says, the whole city was in an uproar. It's crazy how people can take one little thing and now they want to shoot people. You got these young 21-year-old kids going around with AK and high capacity weapons of high power that rips the guts out of people, and they're using them on innocent people because they're saying that one group of humankind is going to surpass or take over from another group of humankind. And so because of that, I'm going to kill the other humankind. It's off the chain. It doesn't meet the test of love my brother and love God.
Right.
It meets I want it my way, and I'll use God, manipulate God to make it okay or justify me doing what I'm doing. And it's crazy, but this is what we're faced with. This is what they were faced with back there in the first century. This is what we're faced with today, and it all comes down to not surrendering our will over to God's will, not understanding that left to our own vices, we'll turn around and kill everybody in the church, kill everybody in the street, kill everybody everywhere if we can't have our way. And you got people that foment this and don't want peace, don't want civility, and they'll yield themselves to the enemy to the place where everybody is totally off the chain in a situation where God had to flood the earth to get rid of all of this. And he said, well, I'm not going to flood the earth anymore. The songwriter said, it won't be water, but fire next time. And so here we are again approaching a fever pitch to the point where it's going to be total chaos. And God said, well, that's it. It's time. I'm going to pull back my hand of grace. And after the hand of grace pulls back, then it's going to be tribulation. And it's going to be a sad situation. But these are the times we're living in. We're living in the times where the hand of grace is still extended, but people are still off the chain. People are still turning on each other. People are still wanting it their way, selfish, forgetting about God. And when you have this, it's like a whole city, a whole world is off the chain. And then you have people falling away from the church, falling away from family, falling away from the love of God, falling away from the peace that God intended for us to have. But the church still has to stand up and declare the good news. The church still has to stand up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church still has to stand up in the midst of an evil and perverse world and still proclaim hope and still proclaim faith and still proclaim salvation in the name of Jesus until the Lord says enough done. So we have no excuse to fall down and say, throw up our hands, but we have to continue to run the race and complete the race. And continue to speak a word in this world because it's needed. And this is the only way that some people are going to accept God's plan of salvation or receive salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is what we find ourselves in, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's the thing that we have to realize, too, is that because of the way, because of evil, we have to show peace. Our lives have to be a testimony. We have to be ambassadors for Christ. We have to be consistently showing love to those who despitefully use us. We have to be that light in darkness. If we truly trust and believe in the Lord, we have to put our emotions aside and show grace to others, even those that come up against us, because for some people, that's the only light they're going to see. And even when we read through this scripture, it's here they're arguing about the Gentile. They're all saved by grace because Jesus Christ has come, and it's the first century church. But then they fall back on the tradition, Moses' law. They're ready to kill these different factions, the one from Asia. They're ready. They get raised up, and they got so carried away in evil, they're ready to kill. Well, that goes against the law of Moses because it says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. So how can you upset and raise up, and you're ready to kill? Everybody's arguing, fighting, because our tradition says you do this. Our tradition says you don't have to be circumcised. But at the end of the day, we're saved by grace. Jesus came so that we can all, both Israel, Jews and Gentiles, be saved by grace. And he left the Holy Spirit as a comforter. But because you don't like my custom and I don't like your custom, you're ready to kill. Well, according to your custom, you're not supposed to do that. And that's what Satan comes to do, to kill, destroy, and cause confusion. And that confusion comes when we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. When we don't take that few seconds, and that's what we have to show people, to say that you're coming at me, but I'm not going to react the same way. I'm going to show the love of Christ, whether I walk away, whether I pray, whether I show peace, whether I show self-control. Otherwise, Satan will have everybody doing things. You know, like we said, what we see what's going on with the government now. You know, when they first started this whole thing 4 or 5 years ago, they didn't think that it was going to come where they stirred people up, and they literally want to kill the vice president of the United States or other people. But then try to sweep it under the rug and hide and follow the big lie because they let it go too far. We as Christians need to step it up, show love, show peace, show that things may be a mess, but we can rise above that by trusting and allowing the Holy Spirit to be that example versus letting things get out of control. And here, what their very tradition was, they are ready to kill Paul.
Amen. It's a thing where they're so wound up that they can't see. Dr. G, help me out. How blind, I know the songs is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. How blind is man to salvation that's right there in front of their face? How is it that the scales are so thick that even though salvation is right there in front of their face, that they don't see it?
Well, to be honest, you know, we have gotten to a point where, you know, it's all about us as humans, the flesh. And when we look at what's going on in our world today, you look back in the Bible to see what was going on in Paul's day, and you're right, you know, nothing has changed. You know, what you were just saying a few minutes ago, the Lord hit me with that on Sunday. Because it's frustrating when you continue to preach and teach and you want the best for your folk, but they continue to turn their backs on the Lord. And, you know, you get to a point where you're ready to just say, forget it. If they don't want it, they don't want it.
Mm-hmm,
had to remind me that, you know, it's not about what people want. It's about what's best for them. And even though it gets tiresome, we have to continue to point the way to Christ. We have to continue, especially if we believe in what the Lord has said, we have to continue to stand strong and point the way to Christ. Because, I mean, if we are able to reach one or two people, then we've done our job. You know, we're not going to ever reach everybody. That crowd that was down on the Capitol January 6th, you know, most of those folks, they were just so caught up in the moment with what boyfriend was saying. And, you know, when you listen to the hearings, you know, they're bringing out so much more of what was going on behind the scenes. And it's the same thing that, you know, the political leaders, the religious leaders were doing back during Paul's day. But we have to continue to stay strong, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how bad things look. And you're right, because God is the ultimate. He is the one that we have to continue to point people to. And until folks get to the point where they're tired of being whipped by the Lord, convicted, then at that point, then they have to make up in their minds as to whether or not they really want what God has to offer. And what I love about him, he's not going to force it on anybody, just like Paul's time. You know, you had all these different groups. And back, Sheila was talking, when I first came to New Birth, you know, I had the deacon and folk were running around and they're talking about they were perfect. And because they were saved, so they were perfect. But yet, when you look at how they were conducting themselves, it was all out of the word. It wasn't according to the word. So, you know, God is going to have to be the one that he's going to have to convict these people. Now, a lot of what's going on now, because the truth is really beginning to show. And if we continue to watch these hearings, I mean, it's a shame as to what was going on. Here you had the vice president 40 feet from these fools, and he didn't even trust his limo driver because he said, look, I know you, but I don't know the driver. So, you know, until God gets into the midst of this mess, I mean, when you look at everything that is going on in the world, here you got the war in Ukraine, you got all of the different, you know, floods, volcanoes, fires, I mean, kids shooting kids, people, you know, walking in schools and shooting people. Until folks get to the realization we need God in our life, nothing is ever going to change.
You said it all right there. You said it all right there. We going to have to go to the phone lines on that one. Until people realize you need God in your life, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. We got to ask that question. When you realize you needed God in your life, is that when things change? And truly, I believe once I realize I needed God in my life, that's when things change. And sometimes he has to change me. You know what I mean? Sometimes he has to change the situation. Sometimes he'll have to allow the situation to change you to the point where you line up with him. But that's the question. Do you realize that once you need God in your life, that's when things change? We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, it's very true what Pastor Gregory said, and you too, Pastor Evangelist Gregory. Until we come to the realization that we need the Lord and we cannot get ourselves right, we are just messed up people, and we live in a messed up world. Until
come
we
on
come
now.
Realize that we are in sin and darkness, and until we come to Jesus, we are in that darkness. And a lot of times we don't want to come to him. We don't get in that word because that word convicts. That word convicts us and show us exactly the mess that our lives are in and how much we need the Lord. And so, yes, we do need him. But I thank God that he put a plan in place for us. And I just thank God that, you know, he gives us enough grace and mercy. We have a chance to come to him, you know. For some people, it's too late, but I thank God that he allowed me to have that chance, that grace and mercy, to be able to come to him and to realize that I needed him because my life was a mess. And I couldn't fix it. I don't care what I tried to do. It got worse, it got worse. I recall just having the hog pen experience. And it was when I got down in that hog pen. And wallet a while. And called on Jesus, and he answered my
prayer.
He lifted me. His love brought me out. Nothing I'd done on my own. It was just the love of Jesus that brought me out. And I need him every day, every day. Please guide me. Lead me and direct me. Because if he takes his hand away from me, I am a lost creature. I'm going to be honest with you because I can't do nothing to help myself. I need the Holy Spirit every day, every day, every hour, every second.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I realized that the Lord was the one that made the difference in my life. It's not that I didn't know about the Lord, because we was all brought up. We went to church every Sunday. And even if you moved away from home and came back to my mother's house, you was getting out of there on Sunday. I don't care what you did on Saturday. You went to church on Sunday.
I know that's right.
That wasn't,
amen.
That was nothing. You didn't have an option. You was going to do it, or else you wouldn't be there. So, but I know that the change came in me when I knew that I needed the Lord in my life. I knew I needed the Lord in my life, and I wanted the Lord in my life. And I went back and I asked him to help me. I had been through so much stuff. But the fact is that he came in. He came in and he took over. And once he took over, and I believed in him and I trusted in him, and I just knew that everything was going to be all right because I was with him. I changed my life. I humbled myself. I did everything because I wanted to represent him. And this is where I'm going right now. It's a lot of my family and friends that I would love to for have them with me. They're making their own choice, just like I was making my own choice before he came in there and got me straight. So all I can do is pray for them, and that's what I continue to do. And whoever I can tell about the Lord, I will do that. So I'm just thankful for the Lord for being in my life. I'm thankful for the way he came and lifted me up and let me know that everything was going to be all right. I ain't have to worry about all those things I done. I done some terrible things, but that's gone. That's over.
Amen.
That's not me no more.
That's
I'm
right.
Born again. Well, I'm not going to apologize to nobody for that because I changed.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful to God that he changed me. And I'm just going to lean on him, trust in him, depend on him, and talk to him every day. Because I need him every day, too. I need him every day. I can't do nothing without him. I need him in my life. So I just thank you all for listening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. I had to step away. But can you give me the question, what you asked? I had to step away for a minute.
Yeah. The question was, when you realized that you needed God, and that he was the only one that could make a change in your life.
he need to make a change. I need to change because I need him more. So, I have a thing that's going working on my mind right now, and I don't want to do anything wrong, and I need him so bad. And I be praying and hoping that he puts his hand on me and don't turn me loose before I do anything wrong. I need him so bad, God. No, I know. I'm praying you, and I call you in my mind, and I just don't call. But I need him more so than this now, because I am in a problem now, and I got to get it straightened out. I just hope he don't turn me loose and let me and give up on me. I hope I need him every day, and I stay with him. I've been with him all my life since my grandmother left here. Grandma made sure that we stay with God every day of our life, and I haven't turned him loose. Now, one day, and I did some things that I did not do, approve of doing the wrong thing, but I try to stay on the right track today, and I hope I just don't make no mistake. I need him to help me to get straightened and get back on the road I need to be on. But I'm so thankful, Father, that no, I have never turned him loose, not one day. I know, and I'm trying to keep all my friends and whatever, not no friends, because I don't have no friends, but so should my children, my kids. I try to pray on them and pray with them every day. And I pleased me that when I hear my son preaching me and use the word God and his life and everything, it just thrilled me all the way. I knew I'm doing the right thing. And I stay with him, and I need him this day, and I get on my knees every day and night and pray to the Lord that I'm stepping on the right way. And I hope he hold on to my hand and don't let me do anything wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last word is 8760. 8760, good evening.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The question was, when you realized you needed God to make change in your life.
Yes. I'm going to be very transparent. I'm currently going through a situation that has made me open my eyes and see that I do need the Lord, and it has helped me. The situation I'm going through has actually helped me get closer to the Lord. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I do see day by day, little by little, that, you know, because I am getting closer to my word and I am trying hard to be obedient, I do see myself changing. And I also see, you know, my situation changing little by little.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I appreciate that. And yeah, that's it.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digit 0072. Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, don't beat me up, but can you say the question one more time? It's just so easier. It's so much easier to answer when it's fresh.
Yeah, yeah. When you realize that you needed God in your life to make a change in your life. In other words, if you needed a change in your life, but you needed God to be the one that makes that change.
Okay, so I'm going to just use different words just because it makes more sense to me coming out. I didn't realize that this whole time I had God. Like, things were happening in my life, and I was being saved from a lot of things that I didn't even know I was walking into. So the Lord has always been walking with me and steering me out of wrong. Didn't know that's what that was. My thing is getting to the point now where I'm learning to trust that that's what that is.
Amen.
And be able to lean and understand that the reason why things are going the way that they're going, it may be taking a little longer, but the reason that they're happening and they're happening the way they should happen is because it's the Lord making those things happen and moving things around in my life. I didn't understand that when I was younger, but now that I'm an adult, I realize that it's always been the Heavenly Father that's been right there with me, guiding me, and I'm now learning to trust that in every situation and not just in that one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. Good evening. All right.
Good evening.
Hello?
Good evening. How are you doing tonight? Yes, I know. I realized probably like maybe within this last year or so, you know, going through certain things and, you know, a little bit of, you know, frustrations and betrayals and this life period, you know, has brought me close to God.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely can say that I wasn't. I was off track, and like I said, now I'm back on track. I'm taking it day by day. So it definitely is important.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last 1411. 1411, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Definitely agree with all the comments, but I was kind of on the lines of what I believe it was Sister Charisse had stated, because, you know, when we talk about need, you know, we're talking about it from a sense that we don't have or we're trying to obtain. But, you know, whether we feel we've needed God or not, God has always been there, whether we know it or not or whether we believe it or not. God is there, and we just have to acknowledge it. And, you know, I've been in certain situations where I've tried to do it my way. Somehow I made it out, but it was just a long, drawn-out process, and you just get tired. You get worn out. You start to kind of look around you, and you realize you're not happy, and then you have to have a long, hard look itself, and, you know, you have to have a long, hard talk with the Lord, you know, and God. You know, I've had those moments, and, you know, we always talk about we want so many things to change in our life, but too often we get so comfortable, because when you talk about change, you got to start looking around things that are not going to be familiar anymore, because you got to get out of that comfort zone. And, you know, when God told me a long time ago, he said, man, you more committed to your comfort zone than you committed to me, because in order for you to change and to do these things, you got to step out on faith. You can't be around things that are familiar to you, that feel good, that feel right, or people that tell you all these things that sound good, but they're not good for you. So when I had to slowly do it, and it is a process, I had to be committed. But I failed along the way, but I dusted myself off, picked myself up, and I kept cracking at it. And slowly you start to see the change. But change is very difficult because it requires patience. It requires a very strong commitment. And you have to be able to resist temptation to resort back to your old ways, like, oh, this is too hard. I'm going to go back and do it the way that I've been doing it. But then we realize that we're not serious. So then what happens? We want all of these different things to happen in our life, but we go about it the same way. So nothing's ever going to change unless you do it a different way. And that different way in the realm of this conversation is the Lord's way. It's Christ's way. And in order for you to do
that,
you got to study the word, things, but understand that that's part of the process. And then when you realize so much has happened and how many times you've been spared, you realize it was nothing but the grace and mercy of the Lord. And then that's when you realize, like, you know what? I need Jesus, not just sometimes, not just when it's convenient, or look, not when I ran through my list of all other options, and at the bottom it's like, okay, I didn't try it 10 different ways, now I'm going to go ahead and just turn it over to the Lord. God needs to be option one, option two, option three, whatever you want to call it. We need to turn it over to God, because if we're serious about change, you better pray first. You better get God in your corner first, and you better get right, because I'm telling you now, when we decide we're going to change, the devil's radar and antenna starts tuning in and be like, okay, something's going on over here, and I got to put some things in place to trip them up or defeat them or try to get them to resort back to their old ways. So it's a challenge, and not everybody is going to change. And what do we call it in the law of evolution? If you don't evolve, you die. We spiritually die. If we don't change and evolve spiritually, we're going to die, like a real serious death, and we're never going to make it into the gates of heaven. So whether you want to change or not, you got to change, because we're all falling short of the glory of the Lord. We all are in this race together, and we're all trying to get to the same destination. But it's no way in the world you can be who you are now at the beginning of this race and still be the same person at the end and enter the gates of heaven. You got to go through some type of change, metamorphosis, whatever you want to call it. Change is required. Forget what you want to do. That's what it is. Change is required. And if we don't take it seriously, we're never going to get there. And we're going to constantly be beat up by life. We're going to be beat up by friends and family members and have to go through so many things because we refuse to accept that in this Christian journey, God requires us to change. And we got to be faithful and we got to be committed to it. But we got to lean on each other. You know, we all get so consumed in life, but we got to realize we're each other's resources, and we got to lean on each other and have accountability partners, people that hold you accountable, like, hey, you said you was going to give that up, or hey, you said you was going to stop doing that, or hey, you was in church last Sunday crying and boo-hooing, talking about God this and God that, and now is where you got to put that work in. So let's get back to it. Let's get back on it. And I have those people, thank God, to check me spiritually and be like, hey, B, like, that's you 5 years ago. That ain't you now. What you doing? Are you headed back down? Yep, you know what, you're right. I had a moment. My bad. Let me get back on it. So when we start leaning on each other and utilizing those resources that God has provided us, change becomes more realistic. The journey doesn't seem that daunting, but you got to take it one step at a time. But I definitely know now that I need God in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
I take him to work
yeah.
with me. I take him to the gym with me. When I'm talking to certain people, Lord, hold my tongue, please, God. Don't let me say nothing crazy.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So in every
yeah.
aspect, look, when y'all swiping that card in the grocery store and you praying to God that there's enough money on it to get what you need and get out of that store, you need God in every aspect of your life. You know what I'm saying? And when we realize that, the journey becomes more clear. Things start to slow down and start to make so much more sense. But we got to be committed, and that's really the only way that we're ever going to get there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We got another caller in last 4 digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Could you repeat the question for me, please?
Yes. The question is, when you want realize that you need God in your life to make change. In other words, if you want something to change or things need to be changed, that you realize that you need God in your life in order to get that change.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, when you go through things continuously and, you know, you try it your way, until God finally makes it to the point where you have no choice but to try it his way. then you get to that point and, you know, you do what he wants you to do, and then he makes it clear as to what his point was and why he worked it out the way he was going, you know, the way it was supposed to be worked out, you know. And it's just really about trust at the end of, you know, at the end of it all. Like, it's about our trust in God and how, you know, the fact that we trust him to be able to help us. And it is definitely a process, you know. I find myself every day trusting in him a little more, you know, just with reassurance and everything like that. So, yeah, definitely, I definitely do believe that.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, 7971. 7971, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. This is a good question, but with me, I realized that I needed God in my life at an early age, and there were just certain things that never turned out right until I made a total commitment to God that my life was his. And it's definitely longevity that brings on all this in your life. When you realize that you can't do anything in your life with God, he's so instrument that we need to live the life of Christ, to have the peace and the love and the harmony in your life that he says is yours. And that's by going to church, studying his word, and leaning totally, when I say totally, on him, and recognizing and having the faith in him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And over and over, you see the love of God in your life when you pray, and he fulfills his promises to you, and you do the things that he asks of you, keeping his commandments, being the fruit that he says we are supposed to be, and the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in you. It's just a total commitment that you make to God when you realize you can't do anything without him. But when you pray and you see the goodness of God and the blessings that he bestows upon you as a Christian, and you can reach out and touch other people without being selfish, and that's being a well-rounded Christian, to receive these blessings from God. And they are many. They are many. The little things that we think God's not recognizing that you're doing, then you can say to yourself, you know that's wrong. And you make an all-out effort to change your life and live the life that Christ says in this, his word. And you see it come to fruition in your everyday life. It's every day. That's when you know that you cannot live without God. You cannot. And when you do realize that you've done something that is not pleasing to him, be honest to yourself, pray, repent, and ask for forgiveness. Go to church, tithe, reach out, touch somebody. Keep those two great commandments. Love him first, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of this is a combination of things that you realize. It wasn't written just to be written for you to read, but to read it, study it, know it, and live it. Every day. And it takes a lot, because you're not perfect. You're going to have ups and downs in your life. The devil never stops. Once you think one thing is out the way, up pops another. But you know you can take it to the Father. You can take it to the Master. And I can truly say that he does what he says he's going to do. Even if you're not perfect, you can cross every T, you can dot every I, and he still forgives you. That's when you know you cannot live without God in your
Amen.
Life and be a true Christian and live a life with comfort. Because all this is going on around us. I tell my sister all the time, we are blessed. We are blessed. We woke up this morning. We breathing this morning. We have everything we need. And why? Because God, he supplied all of our needs. He has supplied all of our needs. We want nothing. We need nothing. But we didn't do it. God did it.
That's
we
right.
have to
That's
give
right.
him the for what he does for us. And I am a living testimony of a person that has leaned totally on God. And without him in my life, I don't know where I would be, but I'm glad I ain't what I used to be, and
mm-hmm.
I'm glad he is my life. Not getting in my life, he is my life and my salvation. And I am so proud to be a part of this circle of Christian warriors for the Lord that has given me his word, has guided me when things were down. I had nobody to turn to but God. And by the teachings of this Zion Church, Heart of God Baptist Church, New Birth Baptist Church, and the leadership and teaching of God's word has helped me be a true believer to realize that God is all I need. He's
Amen.
All I need. And I thank you all. I thank you all the time because without the love of God in my life, the precious word of God, leading me each and every day. It's not a day, not a moment in my life that I won't pick up God's word when things bother me. I need to know if I'm going in the right direction. You realize it every day that you need him in your life. Every day, every moment, every second. Even when you're driving in the car, crazy people out here. And you said, thank you, God. God moves them out your way. He's everything. That's all I can say.
Amen.
God, everything to me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Dr. G. Your final comments, and we'll close us out with prayer, please.
Listening to all of the callers, and I was sitting here thinking where Christ said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And until people get to the point where they understand that they need the Lord in their life, they really don't know what living is. Life everlasting can only be achieved when you have got God in your life. And when the Lord is in your life, you realize then that it's not about your will. You have to surrender yourself to the Lord. And when you do that, the Lord will lead, guide, and direct your path. With that, let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O God, for just another evening that we were able to get into your word. Father, we thank you for helping us to realize that we need you, Lord. We need you every hour, every second. Lord, we need you every day. And, O God, there are some of us that have come to the point now where we realize that we can't make it without you. Father, thank you. Giving us another day. Thank you for all that we've had to endure. And, oh, God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, continue. continue to put that hedge of protection around us, oh Lord, and guide us in the direction that you want us to go. And Father, when we do mess up, when we do make a mistake, we thank you for forgiving us for what we've done. Father, we glorify you right now, and we just say thank you for everything. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerful, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.